From the Gospel of Matthew, it is part of what we call in Matthew the Sermon on the Mount. And so I've chosen a section, a small section of that, but it is a lot to bite off and chew on for today and even for our lives. So we hear from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus saying, "Stop worrying then over questions such as, what are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear? Those without faith are always running after these things. God knows everything you need. Seek first God's reign and God's justice, and all these things will be given to you besides. Enough of worrying about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Today has troubles enough of its own." Amen. A word from our Holy Scripture. Did you notice how beautiful the Christmas season was this year? I mean, the weather, the outside, it just was a perfect temperature, not too cold, lots of snow lying outside and sparkling. And I thought just really it was, for Canada, the perfect Christmas weather. And so I found myself on New Year's Day saying, start this season off right by getting bundled up and going out for a nice long walk to explore the town I even haven't had a chance to explore yet, Black Diamond. I don't know many places in it, so I thought, I'm going to bundle up and I'm going to go out for a lovely walk on this lovely day. So I did that. I didn't know exactly where I was going to go, but I just set out. And I explored things I didn't even know were there. There is this area in Black Diamond, where there's a number of houses I didn't even know existed, like 300 to 500 of them. It's like a small town in itself. So I went up through there and wandered through there up by the hospital, found some stairs down, went by the river, went past the campground and down by Vale's Gardens, and sort of peered into all the businesses along Main Street. None of them were open. And finally wandered back home. And it was lovely. I learned so much about the community simply because I didn't really know where I was. But I knew my purpose. I was going out to get exercise and to see the town. Last year, I introduced a new word at the beginning of the new year that I thought I'd refresh your mind with today. Cottywomple. Great word. It's fun just to say it. Cottywomple. Try it with me. Cottywomple. Fun word. Makes you smile just saying it. Here's what it means, though. It means to travel in a purposeful manner towards a vague destination. That's what I was doing on New Year's Day. I was cottywompling. I don't know if that's a word, but that's what I was doing anyway. Setting out with a purpose, but with a very vague idea of my destination. This month, we are exploring the theme, who we are in Christ. And last week, I shared with you that our primary identity in Christ is child of God. Those who refract the pure light of Christ and then bathing the world in the beautiful colors of Christ's love. This is our identity at birth that we cannot lose. It means that we are wanted and loved and belong to God no matter what, no matter where we go. This is what grounds us in our life and gives us a sense of who we are if we live into our true essence as children of God. And it's from this secure and grounded place then in our lives that we can begin cottywompling. Because as Jesus reminds us today in the scripture I just read, that part of our identity as God's beloved is this: we are seekers. Seek first the reign of God, or some say the kingdom of God or kingdom of God. We are seekers, but not just seekers of anything that we desire, but we are seekers, Jesus said, of God's reign and God's justice. We are to be purposeful about our human journey while leaving the destination vague. While leaving where we're going up to God. We're seekers, not finders of God's kingdom. There is a distinct feeling that we're not, nor are our world leaders moving with much purpose these days. We don't have a clear sense of what we're doing or where we're going, so we're muddling along, trying all kinds of things without much sense of purpose. And it seems to me that things are getting much more confusing and convoluted in our world today. I read something this week that has kind of stuck with me that I have to sort of muddle through myself and figure out sort of what I'm doing, but it says, most people don't live for 10 years. They live 1 year 10 times. Most people don't live for 10 years. They live 1 year 10 times. We just keep doing the same thing over and over, going on the same holidays, doing the same work, living the same life, eating the same things. And then we wonder how the years go by so fast. Often they go by in boredom. And we wonder why we're bored or depressed or anxious or not getting anywhere in our lives. And the same goes for organizations and governments and the church. We don't seem to be living out our calling with purpose. Perhaps that's because we've gotten more focused on a destination. That might be wealth or growth or beauty or power or status, control, material possessions, security, safety, appearances, just surviving. We're more focused on what we want to happen than we are on the purpose for our journey. And it's becoming increasingly evident, at least, that part of our sense of malaise and anxiety today is because we lack a sense of purpose or meaning in our lives, in society, in organizations, in the church, even in government. We're confusing purpose with a specific destination. We think we need a clear place to go or a goal to achieve. Haven't we been taught that? Set a goal and work towards a specific goal. We think personally that we need to get a certain job or so much money in the bank or marry the right person or have the right car or house. Hello. Okay. And our energy is spent on getting all of these things, only to find that when we get to that particular goal or destination that we set, it's not as satisfying as we thought it would be. That's because we got the formula backwards. It's not the destination that we should be clear about. It's the purpose for getting there. It's not the goal, it's the purpose. And our purpose, Jesus says, is to seek first the kingdom of God, not to find it, to continue to seek it, to look for God's reign and justice in the world, and then let everything else, he says, fall into place. Know your purpose. Follow your purpose. We need to set our intention or our purpose for the journey and let the destination itself unfold as it will. It's the seeking of God's reign that is our purpose, not where we end up. A speaker I heard recently said, be directionally correct and practice relentless innovation on the go. It's the direction that's most important, not the destination. Getting the direction right is more important than the final achieving of anything. We are seekers. So what is it then that we're seeking? Jesus said that we are seeking God's reign and God's justice in our own lives and in the world. And we're pretty clear about what that looks like. It looks like love for God and love for our neighbor, he said. The brilliant philosopher and author Dr. Cornel West said, never forget that justice is what love looks like in public. Justice is what love looks like in public. And what does that justice look like? What does the kingdom of God look like? Well, it looks like this. The kingdom of God looks like this. Everybody living harmoniously within the same box. Peacefully and harmoniously. I love color. Whatever our differences, they just need to be acknowledged and appreciated so that we can all play together in the same sandbox. All injustices, all wars, all oppression in the world is perpetrated because some in the box refuse to allow others to have equal access to the means of living full, rich, and abundant lives. Some in the box won't let others in on an equal footing. So people throughout history have been tossed out of the box as disposable, not valuable, while those in the box continue to make and play by their own rules. So today I thought we'd just take a moment to talk about who is out of the box, who is thrown out of the box, who is not allowed to play. So, those who are differently abled. Who else? Sorry? Those who don't have the same beliefs, okay? Perhaps different religions or political stripes or that sort of thing. Who else don't get to play equally in the box? Pardon? Yes. People of differing colors. So, what colors would that be? Brown? Black?
Yellow?
Okay. So what are we talking about with different genders? Okay. So could we include the LGBTQ? Okay. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, trying to go through them, two-spirited, plus. Who else doesn't get to play in the box? People with mental illness, yes. Poverty. People who are lonely. People who are incarcerated. Illness. The homeless. Along with the homeless, did we say poverty? Homeless. Don't get the same voice. What age? Elderly? Young? Somebody went and said, you're not going to get those crayons back in. It's kind of the point, though, isn't it? Who else? I'm going to ask also, what doesn't get a seat at the table? Environment, animals. One of the things that really made me cry, creepy ones, crawly ones, climbing ones, walking ones, swimming ones, flying ones, right? Over a billion, they think now, have been killed in Australia just by the fires, right? Over a billion critters. Who else? Did we cover everybody? Did we say immigrants? Anybody else? These are all people that don't get to play equally in the box. That is a clear injustice. Who does that leave in the box, actually? Pardon? We laugh. It actually is. But not all. Let's be clear about that. White, self-identified heterosexual males, often self-identified as Christian, not always these days, but it's people with power, a need for control, who have money. It is white heterosexual males usually left in the box, but not all. Let me be clear about that. It's the people who have power and money. Heather? Yes. They are as far as controlling the world, though, for the most part. They're the ones who make the decisions. We know it already from what's happened this week. It is often the white. They may not be accepted, but they're ones with the power. Now, they are leaving, but they have left their colonialism, right, still. So it's changing. It is changing. I agree. But often the ones making the decision still are these people. The point simply being is not everybody is in the box yet. And that's the injustice. People have asked me, why do we do the land acknowledgement at the beginning of our service? Or why are we engaged in the affirming process for the LGBTQ and anybody else who is not in the box? Or why the Me Too movement or the Black Lives Matter movement? Why, they say, can we not just get along peacefully with each other? And the point is, we're not there yet. That's why. And I hope you understand this. Until we are all equal and all living in harmony with each other, those of us who have privilege or wealth or status are responsible for making sure that everyone gets to play together in the box. And sometimes that means we have to draw attention to one particular group's plight until it's no longer necessary because they have a place. We draw attention to a particular group that is outside, and they need the attention until they're back in the box and they no longer need to have attention drawn to that group. Our purpose in seeking the kingdom of God is to seek ways to get everyone in the box with equal opportunities. To seek God's reign of love and peace and justice. We don't have to get there in our lifetimes. We'll get very frustrated if we think we have to see the kingdom of God realized in our lifetimes. Our clear purpose simply is to work toward it. Who we are in Christ is seekers. We just continue to cottywomple our way and leaving the fulfillment of that journey to God. Children's activist and author L.R. Nost said this as I close. Do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break, and all things can be mended. Not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in the darkness for the light that is you. Spend some time now in prayer and reflection.